The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
What was that music? It was Jeopardy. Yeah, what are we doing today? Is this a worship service or a game show? Yes. Come into this place of peace and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power and let its vision change your heart. We each come into this place for different reasons, searching, hoping, in hurt, in joy, and however you enter here and wherever you come from, you are welcome. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and I serve Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship as lead minister. And I say that because I'm a guide among other ministers, each with our own needs, each with our own insights, each with our own ideas, and each with our own ministries. And one of our goals in worship, one of my goals in worship, is to witness to the reality of life outside these walls. We set aside some time every Sunday to be with each other, to focus our hearts and our minds. But we do so knowing that what we do inside this space must be relatable to what we do outside of this space. And our service parallels life in that the services are varied, just as life is varied. We parallel by saying that a caring world is true. There are some truths we witness to, that a caring world is indeed true, and that what we do with our lives matters. Now, if those words are all you hear today, then that's okay. That a caring world is possible, that what you do with your life matters, that can be enough. Now, the difference today is that we're going to play a game instead of listening to a sermon. And I've often said, you may have heard this, you're like, oh my gosh, Andrew, you say that a lot, that religion is to comfort those in need and challenge those who are comfortable. Who's heard that? I mean, I say that a lot. Yeah, and sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, is he gonna challenge us again? Because I'm like pushing, okay, what are your values? Let's live those values. Here's the challenge. When you get out of here, how are you gonna live those values? Today, it's gonna be more heavy on the comfort side. It's gonna be fun, hopefully. That's the goal. We're going to play a game show. Hopefully there'll be some laughter, some joy, a lot of learning. So come, let us play together. Come, let us worship together. I've asked Phil Manos to light our chalice, the symbol of our ever-evolving and free faith. And I will read these words from Albert Schweitzer as he lights our chalice. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. And we continue our symbolic lighting by a recognition of a desire for peace, a desire for peace in the world, a desire for peace in our hearts and our communities. If you would, please respond with the words on the screen. May peace be with us. Thank you. Thank you, Phil. We begin our time together, as we do so often, by warming up our bodies, our minds, and our souls. Today we are singing, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. You are encouraged, welcome, invited to stand in body or spirit. If you want a hymnal, they are by the front door. And the lyrics will be on the screen. Enter, rejoice, and come in.
Enter, rejoice, and come in.
Okay, we're warming up. Everyone's thinking, how are we gonna do that? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. How are we gonna do this? How is this gonna work? Well, I have a warm-up activity, which is a mini quiz. So we're gonna start with a mini quiz here, and you can feel free to yell out answers. If you're online, you can feel free to just type them in the chat to let us know what the answer. And right now, this is getting ready for the main attraction. So this is like warming up. Get ready here. Here's the first question. And I'm just going to ask these questions for the actual Jeopardy. Don't worry. It'll be Jeopardy-like.
Do we have to answer in the form of a question?
Not right now, but you will. Teresa, we will have to answer in the form of a question. Yes. Yeah. So here, I'm going to ask questions this time. So it's a little confusing, but get ready. What does UU stand for?
Unitarian Universalist.
Unitarian Universalism. Yes, absolutely. And this will show you the gamut of the questions that we'll be asking later. Which do you think is more important, what you believe or how you act?
How you act.
Oh, okay. How you act, any what you believe? It's okay.
Yeah?
What you believe? Okay, all right. What is the governing body of TPUUF?
The UA.
The board? Oh, the board, okay. See, there's learning here. So the board is our governing body. We're a member of the UUA. We'll get more into this. What is the document that we agree to live by?
Covenant.
Oh, I'm so happy that came out fast. The covenant of right relations. What color is our hymnal? You got it. Yes. The answer is yes. Blue, green, teal, gray. Those are all appropriate answers. Name a Unitarian Universalist holiday.
Any.
Water communion. Chalica. Chalica's one, yeah. Flower communion. Friday? Pride Day. Yes, I thought you said Friday. I was like, well, that's a good one, but Pride Day. No, that's very good. The water communion in gathering. Yes. Yes. Okay. Wonderful. Nice work. All right. You feeling ready? Your brains are like, okay, they're in the groove of this. Today we are going to play a Jeopardy style game. And if you don't know this game show, that's okay. If you are online and not sure how to participate, that's okay. If you are really competitive and want to win, that's also okay. And if you're like, I just want to have church and don't want to engage, that's okay too. You can choose your level of engagement today. And if you're anywhere in between this sort of gamut of like, yes, no, okay, that's fine, great. I hope that you get some joy, and I hope that maybe you glean some knowledge too. So logistically, here's what's going to happen. There will be a board of questions up here. Just this is what the Jeopardy board looks like. It'll look somewhat like this, okay? And it'll be shared on Zoom, and we have our fingers crossed, and this is also how we parallel life, because life doesn't always go as planned, but we do the best we can, and we remain flexible. That's what we're going to do today. So there'll be five different topics and number point values for each question. And I've tried to make the questions easier for the fewer points. So keep that in mind, right? The ones that are 100 should be easier than the ones that are 500, okay? And in order to make sure that everyone can play, there are a couple options. So you can, I'm fine with you just raising, if it's a tough question, maybe raise our hand. But if everyone knows, like, shout it out. And also, if you want to keep track for yourself, I have put pieces of paper. Ryan, can you hold up your piece of paper? I put paper and pencils by the front door. So if you're like, I'm going to just know which ones I get right and keep track of my score, that's okay. And if you want to get a partner, if you're like, oh my gosh, this is my first time at a Unitarian Universalist congregation, I don't know anything about this and this is weird, grab a partner, get someone next to you and be like, hey, do you want to do this together? Like, that's okay. All of those options and more. And online, you can keep track of your score. You can also type in, especially if it's a question that no one here knows and you know it. It is on the honor system. So you can just write down all the numbers and win like that. Or you can, like the ones you know. Does all this make sense?
Yes.
Great. Let's be flexible. Let's have some fun. The questions are going to be in the Jeopardy format, so you'll have answers up here. And you ask a question. So if the answer was Andrew Weber, question would be, who is the minister of Thomas Paine? Okay, that form. So we are going to sing once more before the games begin. So get your pencil and paper, warm up your brains, and rise in body or spirit for our preparatory hymn of knowledge, they say. 339.
Wander from the world. They say it still, though all the dust ablaze, with marvels at their feet, while Newton's laws foretell that knowledge one day shall be. light to sky stretches before us boundless unexplored.
Who has ever sung that one before? I didn't even know. I just looked like knowledge, him about knowledge. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, the words worked really well. Okay, let's see how it goes. Let's start it off. Hey. So our topic for today, women for beginners, alphabet soup, men, and Thomas Paine, University of Public Health. I'll stand out of the way here. All right, I just need someone to start us off. T-Puff for 100. Let's see what T-Puff for 100 is. It's a daily double. That means you get double the points, I think. Our street address. I heard it all over, 3424 Ridge Pike. What is 3424 Ridge Pike? Now here, there's a bonus.
Which one?
Our first street address.
It would be somewhere.
Well, oh. Transylvania. Okay, you get bonus points for that. So Thomas Paine's first street address. I was told the Moose Lodge in Norristown. What is the Moose Lodge in Norristown? Now, bonus. You just happen to pick one with extra bonuses. Any other addresses we've had? What is Audubon School? What is One Room Schoolhouse on Level Road? What is the YWCA? Anything more? Okay. Let's go to, who wants to go to the next one? Should we just go down Thomas Paine, Unitarian Universalist Fellowship? Let's go, just go down. All right. For 200. The year. I don't know why they're all daily doubles. This just might be an error, a glitch. The year Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship was chartered. What was 2008? No. What was 1966? What was 1966? And there's another bonus here. The year Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship was incorporated. 2008. Another good guess. It's not 2008. So this is incorporated with the IRS as a 501c3. That's a good question. I don't know the name it was incorporated under, but the answer... 74. What is 1974? Nice work. All right, Thomas Paine for 300. Is it a daily double? No. A founding member of TPUUF, her most recent leadership was of the Fellowship Singers. Who was Marian Augustine? Yes. Who is Marian Augustine? For 400, all the rest were past things. This is an error here. I don't know why it's all daily double. We'll just be excited each time. The first name of Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. What is the Greater Norristown Unitarian Fellowship? Thomas. Here, bonus. Let's click this and see. Bonus, year the name was changed. It was not when it was incorporated?
No, it was later.
What is 1978? Interesting. Okay. Thomas Paine for 500.
Oh,
1,000. Date of the current building dedication. What is 1994? Absolutely. All right. And start us off with the next category here. You can just ignore the daily doubles, and it should be 500 at the bottom. So give yourself 500 if you're getting those right. Yes, what category? Let's do for beginners for 100. The symbol of our faith, which we light every Sunday. The flaming chalice. What is the flaming chalice? For 200, they will get harder. The number of shared values of faith currently held by the Unitarian Universalist Association. Take a moment and think. Shared values. Many. I'm looking for a number. It's not. So there were seven principles. I'm looking for the current values. What are six? Here we go. Interdependence, pluralism, justice, transformation, generosity, and equity. Okay. For beginners, for 300. Quote, the power that holds us together and is at the center of our shared values. What is love? This is again from last year when the UUA changed their bylaws. Love is at the center of those six values. And we have varying buy-in and excitement about their shared values, which I completely get. All right, for 400, there are a lot of bonuses here. The book we sing from most Sundays. Singing the Living Tradition. What is Singing the Living Tradition? Bonus, the other hymnal. Singing the Journey. What is Singing the Journey? Bonus, the other hymnal. Singing the Journey. So we have Singing the Living Tradition, Singing the Journey. What's the third one? Las Voces del Camino. Las Voces del Camino takes a lot of the Singing the Journey and puts them in Spanish. It's sort of purplish. I don't think we have any copies here. Now here's one. What's the other hymnal?
The one from Transylvania.
No, this is the current, this is like the most current, came out this year, close to what is YouTube. This is called Sing Out Love. Sing Out Love, it's a virtual hymnal, and you can make suggestions to it. It is available online, and you can print out music, you can use it online. So we have four hymnals current. We usually use two of them, but four of them. Okay. For beginners, for 500, in Unitarian Universalism, the person whose beliefs matter the most. Me, you, yeah, yourself, yes. Yeah, what is me? Absolutely. Okay. Who is me? What is me? Next topic. Women. Let's go with women. For 100. Ordained in 1863. She was arguably, this is an argument over there, the first female minister of any denomination to be ordained. Who is Olympia Brown? Well done. Women for 200. She published the first cookbook with accurate measurements in 18. Who is Fanny Farmer? Yes, absolutely. You can still get it on Amazon. It's known as the Fanny Farmer Cookbook. Yeah. For 300, founder of the Red Cross, aided soldiers in the Civil War with food and medical assistance. Who is Clara Barton? This group, I'm gonna just wait till Double Jeopardy because then it's gonna get much harder. So. For 400, a longtime fighter for women's suffrage, she was arrested for attempting to vote in 1872. Thank you. Who is Susan B. Anthony? Boom. Yes, absolutely. And for 500. I'm going to keep saying 500. I know it says 1,000. A pioneer in liberal religious education, she encouraged children to think for themselves. Sophia Lyon Foss, excellent, Bill. Yes, Sophia Lyon Foss, she has some great books of across the globe readings and stories for children, and there are good readings in our hymnal from her too. Really helped from religious education of like giving you information to saying, what do you think? Men, oh, let's go to men. Let's see the men. Men for 100, founding father, inventor, political philosopher. Who is Thomas Paine? Who is Thomas Paine? That's why it was 100, right? It's just the easier one. Who is Thomas Paine? He is not Unitarian, we think, but stated, I do not believe in the creed professed by the Jewish church, the Roman church, the Greek church, the Turkish church, or any church I know of. My mind is my own church. It's like, he resonates with us, right? All right, men for 200. A Czech minister who created the first flower communion. Who is Norbert Čapek? Norbert Čapek, yes. Here we go. Men for 300. The first minister here hired in the late 1980s. Anne gave me this information, so I know she knows. Anyone else? Who is John Morgan? Who is Reverend John Morgan? For 400, men for 400, the founder and first bishop of the Unitarian Church in Transylvania. It's not Dracula. Janusz Zygmunt was the regent, but it was the person who convinced him to have freedom of religion. Francis David, David Ferenc. Yes, who is David Ferenc? Who knew we had bishops? We still have a bishop in Transylvania. There's a Unitarian bishop. Yeah, not in the U.S., but in Transylvania. Okay, for 500.
1,000.
This poet and philosopher left civilization to build a cabin in the woods and live deliberately. Who was Henry David Thoreau? Yes, Walden. And we are left with alphabet soup. What do you think alphabet soup might stand for? Akron, all those. Yes, UUA. Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations for 200. It's a daily double. RE, religious education. Some congregations say religious exploration.
That's what we did for a long time.
And there's a bonus, LFD.
Lifespan.
Faith development. And you can see in our theology, religious education is like, here's the information. Religious exploration is everyone. Lifespan faith development means like, well, it's not just young people, like my faith is developing too. So I think that's what we currently use is LFD here. Okay, for 300, another daily double. GA. General, what is General Assembly? That is the National Gathering of Unitarian Universalist Congregations. It happens every July. It goes virtual, in person, end of June. Happens every end of June. I go and I don't even know when it is. It was in Baltimore this year. Next year it'll be virtual online. Okay, for 400, CER. what is Central East Region? It is one of five geographic regions that replace the districts. If you're like, well, weren't we part of JPD? Joseph Priestley District, now Central East Region, which is a larger, the idea is to help provide services to a larger number of congregations with less bureaucracy. That's the goal. Okay, for 500 or 1,000, UUMA. Oh, what is the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association? A professional organization which provides accountability, support, ongoing education to ministers and clergy. Wow, that was our first round. You guys did really, first round. You did it really well. Whew. Let's take a break. I need a break. We're going to sing. What are we singing? I don't have it written here. We are singing, Though I May Speak with Bravest Fire. So even, this is the purpose. Like when I look at hymns, I'm like, I like what it says. The music fits. This one is even with all this information, with all this knowledge, make sure that we're still using love, using care when we use our information, our knowledge that we have. Though I may speak with bravest fire, if I don't come from a place of love, it's nothing. So please rise in body or spirit for number 34.
Speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire, and have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain.
It's time for Double Jeopardy. The points are double, the questions are harder. Yeah, get ready. I don't know if there are any daily doubles in here.
Are the prizes better?
The prizes are better because it's more numbers for you to add. So let's see for our round two Double Jeopardy, what categories we have. Alphabet 362 and miscellaneous. This should have been 2, 4, 6, 8, 1,000. So if you're adding your scores, you can take this as 200, 400, 600, 800, 1,000. All right. Where should we start? Places. Let's do places for 200. Places for 200. It's 200. Yeah, double. This should be 2, 4, 6, 8. This area was the birthplace of Unitarianism and saw the first usage of the word Unitarian. What is Transylvania? Yes. David Ferenc, who we just heard about, first used the term in 1568, and the first term Unitarian first appeared as Unitario in a document from Transylvania, and there's a small town in the church of Varfava, which has a plaque. And if you ever want to go visit Transylvania, I have some pamphlets outside. I've taken a trip. Grace has gone with me. She's back there. Yeah. I would love to have another trip go. So there are pamphlets out in the, that's a shameless plug of going to Transylvania, seeing the birthplace of our religion. Places for 200. Thank you. It's a daily double. It's 400. Places for 400. The UUA is headquartered in this city. What is Boston? And there's a bonus, 400 bonus. What is the street address? They moved. The current street address. Farnsworth, that's my wife. What is 24 Farnsworth Street? The UUA recently moved its building to the Innovation District. I don't know Boston enough to know that, but it's the Innovation District, 24 Farnsworth. All right, places for 600. An area of the world where Calvinist missionaries inadvertently spread Unitarianism. Not Transylvania, because it started there. It's not Romania, because that's the... No? Did someone say? What is that? The answer is, what is the Khasi Hills of India? Did someone say India? Good. Great. You get those points for saying India. Now, the story goes that Calvinist missionaries come, and Hyam Kishore Singh, who was raised by Calvinist missionaries, kept asking questions, and they said, you sound like a Unitarian. And then he got in touch with the Unitarians in Boston and decided that was what he wanted. That's the story. I don't know how accurate that is. But. Places for 800. It could be urban legend, yes. The location of the largest brick and mortar Unitarian Universalist congregation. The congregational members. Good question. The membership, not the size of the building. There are lots of All Souls. The name is right. The location is not. What is All Souls? No. What is All Souls in? Not bad. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Here's the story. Tulsa, Oklahoma has over 1,600 members. And this is why, because in 2008, I kept saying 2008, in 2008, it absorbed the congregation of Carlton Pearson, an evangelist, bishop of the Church of God in Christ, who was declared a heretic, and he came there and he brought much of his congregation. So not only is it the largest, but it's also, frankly, the most diverse with respect to racial identity. Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's a bonus. This question was the largest brick and mortar. What is the largest congregation? Church, what is the Church of the Larger Fellowship, or CLF? And this was started essentially for prison ministry, and it started actually at the days of the Pony Express, and this was by, you got sermons by mail, and then through mail, and now online, and it has over 3,000 members. It's a virtual congregation, and they have staff, and a minister, and they do virtual things. Now here, places for 1,000, which isn't really a place, actually. That's okay. The number of Unitarian Universalist congregations. I heard very close. The answer is, what is 1,000? In 2024, the data show that it was 1,000 even, so there's not even any rounding there. It has gone up and down over years. I think last year was a little bit higher than 1,000, so it is, but it's right at 1,000. Who wants to pick our next topic? History. Okay, we're just going right in order. History. For 200, this belief was declared a heresy at the Council of Nicaea in 325 Common Era. The Apostles' Creed was not, no, the heresy. Heresy is something bad. So they said, this is not what we want. The Apostles' Creed was, Jesus was not divine. Sort of. It's around the Trinity. So Unitarianism was said is a heresy. Before 325, early church doctrine, Unitarianism was like, that was okay. Maybe it was one God. Maybe there wasn't this Trinity thing. At 325, a bunch of old white guys, I mean, like, they got together and they said, no, it's actually the Trinity. Everything else is heresy. It's not allowed. Right? 400. History for 400. The key tenet of universalism, not Unitarian Universalism. What is universal salvation, or the idea that everyone goes to heaven, or the idea that hell is empty, these ideas that everyone will be accepted into heaven. And this is interesting. If you think about Unitarianism and Universalism, the two differences historically is Universalism mainly appealed to, in the United States, the poorer, the less educated, more south, which makes sense because they're like, well, this life is terrible, but universal salvation. Unitarianism was much more heady, much more educated, much more north. And they're saying, well, I'm reading for myself and I don't see the Trinity in the Bible. So there's that discrepancy that happened in the United States between the two faiths. History for 600. This early edict of religious tolerance was signed in Transylvania in 1568 by King Janos Zsigmond. Boom. What is the Edict of Torda? Jerry is not pulling any punches here. The Edict of Torda. What is the Edict of Torda? Was signed in 1568 saying there's freedom of religious belief. Now, in 1568, that meant like you can be Calvinist, you can be Lutheran, or you can be Unitarian. Right? I mean, it still wasn't saying you could be Jewish or atheist or Muslim. But one of the first edicts of religious toleration and the forebearer of what we call our faith now. Like a Star Wars character. The Edict of Torda. It's a T-O-R-D-A, yes. So history for 800. Here's a good one. The UUA's official growth strategy from 1948 to 1967, which had spectacular results. What is the fellowship movement? Yes, that's why I asked it, because what are we? The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Yes, this was a growth strategy where the UUA, wherever they could get maybe 10 or more people, they said, create a lay-led congregation. And that's where we started in that time frame between 48 and 67. Mainline also started at that time. So you can see that congregations went different ways with how they were going to be. Mainline is much, not in a bad way, more institutional, larger, has larger staff. Here, we're more intimate. There are benefits of both, but you can see like that fellowship movement started a lot of congregations. Here we go. History for 1,000. This is what you've been waiting for. Some of you. The UUA moved to its current location in this year. Boston, but what year? Is before 2023. You just keep going. We just keep going. It's not 2008. What is 2014? It's only been 11 years. It feels like shorter to me, but their idea is to have a more collaborative space, open workspaces. It's very sort of modern looking. It's very green. And frankly, they got a huge amount of money from selling the historic place, which was at what street address? 25 Beacon Street. What is 25 Beacon Street? And that's where the headquarters were. They stood on the headquarters of the American Unitarian Association. And there was a point where they shifted a little bit the building, and they said to the government, I don't know who makes these decisions, we want to keep 25 Beacon Street as our address because it's meaningful and historic. So they kept that address. But now it's 24 Farnsworth, as we all know from previously. All right, What are we doing next? Are we going in order?
Miscellaneous.
Well, I have a call for miscellaneous, so we're not going in order. We're going to do miscellaneous for 200. The Comprehensive Sexuality Curriculum developed jointly by the UCC and the UUA. Question, what is Our Whole Lives, or OWL, which is a comprehensive sexuality education, which actually has how many different levels of courses? What do you think? I looked it up and I asked my wife, who's an expert. It's seven. Seven, from pre-K the whole way up to, quote, older adults. Because all of us have sexuality in our beings and in our lives, and so it's getting these age-appropriate curricula to teach all these different courses. And the bonus, 200, the predecessor to Our Whole Lives.
What is About Our Sexuality?
What is About Our Sexuality, or AYS? Yes, the predecessor started in 71 and replaced in 99. So I didn't ask all those dates, but OWL. Okay, miscellaneous for 400. I'm going to look right at you. The country you will be in if you travel to the birthplace of Unitarianism. What is Romania? What is Romania? So Transylvania is the area. And if you go on a trip with me, you'll get to learn all this. Transylvania is the geographic area. It's currently in Romania, used to be in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, used to be in Hungary. There were some world wars, and there's a saying that goes that there's some people who live in one village who have never traveled outside of their village but have lived in three different countries. Because it's shifted. And so when we visit our partners, when we see people there and meet them, they are culturally Hungarian, they will speak Hungarian, but geographically, politically Romanian. So when I go, I take a trip to Romania, but I don't know Romanian. I can say thank you and coffee maybe, but I can speak a little bit more Hungarian to get by. Here we go. Miscellaneous for 600. The number of Unitarian presidents.
Four.
Who said four? What is four? Was that like knowledge or was that a guess? That was a solid guess. So four or five. So here they are. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Millard Fillmore, William Howard Taft, and possibly Thomas Jefferson. He was like a deist, maybe Unitarian, free thinker. So like, and the bonus, I don't know if Taft is on the board out there. Now, with anyone from looking back, so we like to claim people and say, they were Unitarian, yeah. And sometimes that shifts when we learn more about the person and what they've done and how they lived their lives. And we're like, it's not always perfect. We're not always perfect. Yeah, there's some slavery going on in there. Yeah. Inherent worth and dignity of everybody. What about slaves? So the bonus question, how many universalist presidents? There's a typo. How universalist presidents? Zero. What is zero? There were no universalist presidents. Probably something to do with Unitarians being more educated, being more North, universalists being less educated, being more Southern. Probably. Bonus question, how many Unitarian Universalist presidents? Also zero. So the consolidation in 1961 so far. And Obama has been seen going into a congregation, but yeah. So far we have none. Who's here? Who here is going to make that different? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Miscellaneous for 800. This Unitarian Universalist holiday was created in 1980 in East Lansing, Michigan. Not Chalaka. What is water communion? Yes, water communion was originally created as a women's empowerment, celebration of connectedness by Carolyn McDade, whose name we may know from some of our hymns, and Lucille Shuck. Longview at a women's religion conference in East Lansing, Michigan, and it was adapted. It was made in 1980.
That was my grandmother's congregation.
Wow. So it was your grandmother's congregation. It was like, that's where water communion came from.
So I'm only assuming that
So this, we take part of this important, meaningful service. So when you come in September, on September the 8th, 7th, it's after Labor Day. So the first Sunday after Labor Day, come bring some actual or some symbolic water, and we will join our lives, join our water, showing the interconnectedness of all of us. And this is the history that that comes from. All right, miscellaneous for 1,000. It's a daily double. The structure granting congregations the freedom to make their own decisions about governance. So what allows congregations to make their own decisions? Governance. What is congregational polity? What is congregational polity? And the reason I put this is, I guess I'm a church nerd. I find this really interesting. But the reason I put this is that polity, congregational polity, is like, who has the power to hire and fire staff? The congregation, you do, the members. Who has the power to ordain ministers? The congregation. No one else, just the congregation. This is as opposed to episcopal polity, which is a sort of hierarchical, top-down, the Catholic Church, the Episcopals, they have that Episcopalian polity. And then there's Presbyterian polity, which Presbyterians have, among others, where they have a group or a committee who has charge of congregations. We are bottom-up instead of top-down. The congregation has the power. Wonderful work. What's up next?
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. Alphabet soup, take two for 100, for 200. Why are you you? What is Young Religious Unitarian Universalist? It was on purpose made a question, right? Why are you you? It's a really sort of witty Young Religious Unitarian Universalist. This is the name of high school youth groups. They have the Continental Organization ended in 2008. Sadly, but some high school groups still use this name. This is the group I grew up in. I was part of a YRUU group. If you were in it, you probably had that. Or if you were prior to the 80s, it was LRY, which is Liberal Religious Youth. Yes. Okay. Alphabet soup, take two for 400. COA. What is coming of age? Which is a coming of age, which is a program for youth, especially 13 to 16, where youth look at their own beliefs and maybe have a service where they talk about their credos or their beliefs and they share it with the congregation. It's sort of comparable to a first confirmation or a bar bat mitzvah. It's that sort of comparable. Bonus, the other COA. What is Crazy Orthodontist Association is not correct, although wonderful. The other COA, it is the Commission on Appraisal. Now, you wouldn't know about this, except I'm telling you that there's a committee that the UUA has and says Commission on Appraisal. Every, I don't know how often, it's an elected committee, but every so often they do a report on the association and say, this is something that you need to work on. This is something that we found. They've done great reports on membership, on theology, on social justice. It's really interesting to see because they're outside committee. So they're not usually just saying, well, the UUA says this. They're saying like, no, this is done poorly, this is done well. So Commission on Appraisal, they got some really good reports that are good reads and interesting to think about. Alphabet soup, take two for 600. The board might know this one, MFC. Oh, Ministerial Finance Committee is very close. What is the Ministerial Fellowship Committee? Now, the congregations have the power to ordain, but that being said, there has to be some national accountability. So if you ordain someone, The congregation down the street has no idea who that person is. They don't know anything about them. So this is a way of having a professional standard. So ministers have to get fellowshipped with the UUA through this committee, which I could tell you stories that it's great, it's terrible, oh, it's everywhere in between, it's a lot of work. The Minister of Fellowship Committee gives you fellowship, the congregation gives you ordination. So alphabet soup, take two for eight. Daily double. I don't know, I'll have to go in the program and see why it does this. UUSC. What is the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, which is a non-sectarian organization that advances human rights and social justice? Here we go. Here's one essentially for Linda and Preston. I mean, like, maybe you might know this, but alphabet soup for 1,000. APF. What is the annual program fund? This is our dues to the UUA. This is based on our budget. It used to be based on membership. Now it's based on operating budget. It's voluntary but recommended. And the services we get are funded. The UUA's budget is funded through the APF, through the congregations giving them their dues. All right. We got one more. The UUA for, we'll start at the top. We're going to start at the top for 100, for 200. UUA for 200. The year, what is 1961? What is the year the Unitarians and Universalist faiths consolidated into Unitarian Universalism? What is 1961? Now, you may have heard the term merger versus consolidation. Now, if you're really big into, like, business law, you might know the difference. Now, we consolidated, actually, which means both organizations ceased to exist and a third organization came up. It's just a semantics, but that's what happened in 1961. And if you can imagine, there was lots of discussion and talk and angst about which name went first, right? The Unitarians, the Universalists. Now, the Unitarians won that debate. I don't know what exactly happened there, but with Unitarians being the usually richer, more educated, I can imagine what went on. UUA for 400, the full name, another daily double, the full name of the UUA. Jerry had said it earlier. What is the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations? You are not a member of the UUA. Thomas Paine is. It's the congregation is a member, yes. It's the National Association of Congregations. The UUA for 600, one of the two book publishers of the UUA. What is Beacon Press? Bonus, the other one. Beacon Press is a nonprofit independent publisher, and they have, you can probably see them in bookstores. What is Skinner Books? Skinner House Books is the other one, and that's mainly internal for meditation manuals, spiritual needs, worship and church resources. So the hymnals, I don't know, but they're probably published by Skinner House Books. If you have a bestseller that happens to be Unitarian Universalist, it probably Beacon. Great. The UUA for 800. This is the first group from Unitarianism and Universalism to join. It's like a subset of both religions. What is the youth? In 1953, the youth decided these adults are talking too much and taking too long, we're joining. So it was at 8 years prior to the adults joining together, which means we should always be looking to and learning from and valuing the input of those people who are younger than us. All right, UUA for 1,000. Daily double? I don't know. She is the current president of the UUA. We had a couple of people say Linda Weaver. That's the president of our congregation, yes. The president of the national organization, though, should be Linda Weaver. Anyone? Isabella says, who is Reverend Dr. Sophia Betancourt? She is the current, she's the 10th president of the UUA elected in 2023, and she's responsible for administering staff programs, and she's the sort of principal spokesperson. 1,000 bonus. Who was the first president of the UUA? Yes. Who is the Reverend Dana Greeley? Dana Greeley was the first president of the UUA. Now, no, it's a, I don't know how long the terms are, but it's not every year, because she's the 10th since 1961, so maybe 3 or 4 year, I don't know how long the terms are. Now, let's see what we have left.
Nothing.
No, there's more. Final Jeopardy. So make your bids. In Final Jeopardy, you can say, oh my gosh, how much do I want to bid? This, the category is theology. Theology. All right, make your notes of how much you want to, how many points you want to put up here. All right, let's see it. Let's see it. You ready? Are you ready? Okay, good. True or false? Unitarian Universalists, it's true or false, can believe whatever they want.
True.
I'm hearing true and false. Here's. I hear true and false. Let's see what I wrote. True with an asterisk. I say what is false because, yes, this is what I say. Because it's not that we can believe whatever we want. It's that we can believe what we must believe, what we know to be true in our hearts and minds. Now, that could be semantic, and you're like, well, that means true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be semantics. But it's that you believe what you have to believe, not that you can just decide willy-nilly. And there's a significant difference, I think, between want and must, because want, what I want to believe is sort of a self-serving, romantic path of like, well, this is what I want to do, where must takes us along that journey of responsible search for truth and meaning and ethical actions which come. This is the challenge, right? This is the challenge of like, what do you believe? Okay, well, how are you going to act? There ends our Jeopardy. Put all your points together. Maybe after our next hymn, we'll see how many points we have. But for now, let's go. We're doing a song, right? Are we singing next? No, we're doing Matters of the Heart. Thank you, Tony.
Well, good morning, everybody. We've had a different sort of service, as is our habit. I'm a member of the care team. We on the care team try to make sure that anyone in our congregation who needs help, sustenance, encouragement gets it. But we also are here to encourage the development of community that goes with sharing of our lives with one another, not just what happens when we're here together, but the other aspects of our living that is important, that are important to us, and that we wish to share, can share with one another. Sometimes it's called joys and concerns. We call it matters of the heart. We welcome, we encourage any of you who has something personal held closely that you would like to share with others of your fellows here to come up to the microphone, which we'll put probably back up on the stage. Remind us what your name is and tell us what joy is enlivening your days and what sorrow or concern is a sorrow, is a hurt that you can share with the rest of us. Please come. Such a delight to have strong voices in the congregation. I bring you some thoughts from Bruce Southworth. We turn aside from an unquiet world, seeking rest for our spirits and light for our thoughts. We bring our wounds to be healed, our hopes to be renewed, and our better selves to be quickened. From the world of many things and many doings, we come to seek the unity of a constantly loving spirit. We are divided within ourselves by many cares, by many pleasures, and by diverse and selfish aims. We gather this hour here together to restore the soul's freshness and to restore our vision. We seek to leave behind the broken parts, the hurts, the pains, to find new strength that leads to a trusting spirit and a grateful heart. Blessed be.
So I think logistically we did really well with a weird service. So thank you all. Thank you, everyone. I'm curious, of those who kept track of your points, where were you at? 6,000? 5,500? 60? So it looks like 5 to 6,000. Yeah. Yeah, so for the final Jeopardy, it's supposed to be you put a certain amount. If you got it wrong, you subtract that amount. If you got it right, you add it. Now, knowing that I said it's false with contingencies, which you could define as true, it's up to you whether you, you know. Okay, so like 5 to 6,000. Well done. Okay, nice job. You got everything correct. Yeah, especially those orthodontists. Yeah, yeah. All right. Let us rise in body and spirit with our closing song, number 6, Just As Long As I Have Breath.
Just as long as I have breath, I must answer yes to life. Though with pain I made my way, still with hope I meet each day. If they asked what I did well, tell them I said yes to life. Tell them I said yes to love.
We extinguish our flames here, knowing that they keep on burning in our hearts and in our souls, that we bring our faith to a world in need of our faith. Go your ways, knowing not the answer to all things, yet seeking always the answer to one more thing than you know. Amen and blessed be.